At dinner, she listened to the chatter at her table with a mind uncluttered by worry about a coming presentation. Ensign Zintner's enthusiasm for hull and architecture reminded her of Lucy's uncomplicated enthusiasm for stock breeding. She could like Zintner. She glanced around the mess hall and found another female lieutenant watching her. It made her feel itchy, and she looked back at her plate. The hard workout had damped her appetite. She would be hungry in 3 hours, but not now. On her way out, two other lieutenants stopped her.
If you don't have duty tonight, would you like to come watch a show with us?
They had asked before, but she had been preparing for the discussion group presentation. Now she had no excuse ready. She agreed to come, expecting to slip away after a few minutes. Instead, she found herself locked into a row of others with someone leaning over the back of her seat to speak to her. When the show started, she had that much peace, but as soon as it was over, she found herself the center of attraction. It was ludicrous. It could not be real liking, real interest. It was only her notoriety. She hated herself for enjoying it, even the small amount that she did enjoy. She shouldn't like it. The only legitimate way for an Altiplano woman to be the center of attention was as matriarch of a family. Her great-grandmother would scold. Her great-grandmother was light years away, if she was still alive. Esme shivered.
Are you all right, Esme?
She looked over. A lieutenant, Carton Dublos. So the use of her first name was not familiarity, but the normal usage between those of the same rank off-duty.
I'm fine. I just thought of my great-grandmother.
Dublos looked puzzled, but shrugged it off. Over the next weeks, Esme noticed that the interest in her, the competition for her attention, did not slack off. It puzzled her.
What do they hope to gain? What are they trying to prove?
Tickling at the edge of her mind were all the things Admiral Serrano had said, that legal counsel had said, and her father, and Major Patak. She pushed them aside. She could not cope with a demand to break out of the comfortable, safe niche she had created for herself. She would crawl back into it, pull it around her, an inviolable shield. The nightmares came more often. Further proof that she was not, could not be, the person these others seemed determined to see. Not every night, but especially after those times when someone had talked her into a game, a show, some recreation which had, as far as she could tell, no connection with the content of either set of dreams. She started running a noise generator in her compartment, hoping it would cover any sound she made. No one had complained, but when she woke, heart pounding, at 0300, she was always afraid she had cried out in real life the way she had in the dream. The dreams tangled, the helpless child caught in a war she did not understand, merging abruptly into the terrified young officer belly down on a bloody deck, firing into the haze. She considered going to medical. She would have to, if it affected her performance. So far, it had not, that she could tell. Patak seemed pleased with her progress. She got along fine with Master Chief Sivers, whose massive frame was so unlike Seb Caron's that she was startled only occasionally by the same kind of attitude. At the quarterly review, Commander Ceviche looked at Major Patak.
And how is Lieutenant Suiza shaping, Major?
Patak looked down at the record cube she held.
Very well, of course. She's worked hard to get herself up to speed. Though she has no background in heavy engineering and she'll never be the technical help that Bascock was.
She shouldn't be technical track at all. That presentation to the senior tactical came out of a command track mind.
She asked for technical.
The quirk in the corner of Admiral Dossignol's mouth that his subordinates knew meant he was playing devil's advocate.
I think it was the colonial background. I looked up Altiplano's cultural index. Even though she's a general's daughter, they have no tradition of women commanders.
Of women in the military, period. I saw the same report.
Well then. And the juniors are around her like bees around honey.
Which she isn't comfortable with. She's muttered to me about it, claims not to understand it. If that's honest, and I think it is, she's got no insight into her abilities.
Which you say aren't technical.
Well, I don't want to overstate it. She's got the brains, and she's applying herself. I can't speak for her qualifications in scan, but she's merely a studious amateur where H&A is concerned. And there's her habit of seeing everything in operational terms.
Example?
Well, she's completed the second course in hull design, and I assigned her a report on the modifications necessary to support the new stealth hardware. I was looking for the usual, what I'd have gotten from Ensign Zittner, where to install it based on its need for power, its effect on the center of gravity, and so on. All technical. What she came up with was an analysis of the performance changes in terms of operational capability. I pointed this out, and she blinked twice and said, "Oh, but isn't that what really matters?"
Yeah, I see what you mean. To her, everything matters because of its use in battle.
Which is what's supposed to matter to us. I know that. But I also know that I personally get sidetracked into neat engineering problems. Technical bits for the sake of technical bits. But she doesn't appear to. And I wonder if she ever did, even in scan.
I doubt it. Because of her record on Xavier, they sent along the entire personnel file, along with all those ordinary fitness reports, in which she came up bland and colorless and mediocre. There are her academy ratings. Guess which courses she topped out in.
Not tactics and maneuver?
No, though she was in the top 5% there. Try military history. She wrote a paper analyzing the Braemar campaign, and was invited to consider an appointment to postgraduate work as a scholar. She turned it down and applied for technical track instead, where she'd never excelled.
That's odd.
It's more than odd. Makes no sense. Can't find anything in the file to show that she was counseled against command track. Though I do find the usual comments about non-fleet family backgrounds in her prep school files. Yet they assigned her to technical track, purely on the basis of her request and her fairly mediocre scores.
What were her personal evaluations?
What'd you expect for an outsider who wasn't pushing for command track? I don't know why we still use those things. If personnel would ever go back and check officer performance against the predictions of the personal evaluations, they'd have to admit they're useless. She came out mid-range in everything except initiative, where she was low average.
On which I'd rate her quite high. She doesn't wait to be told, if she knows what she's doing.
Question is, what do we do about her? We've got her for a couple of years, and we can teach her a lot about maintenance. But is that the best use of her talents?
Ceviche looked at Adarin and Patak.
I'd have to say no, sir, it's not. She's a good speaker, a good tactical analyst. She might make a good instructor, or...
Or the kind of ship commander she was in the Xavier action.
That's a risky prediction.
True, but compare her even to officers several ranks ahead of her in their first combat command. I think we'd agree that she has abilities she's shown only rarely. Abilities Fleet needs, if she's really got them and can unlock them. I see that as our task, getting this potentially outstanding young officer to show her stuff.
But how, sir? I like the girl, truly. But she's so reserved, even with me, even after this much time. How do we get the lid off?
I don't know. Engineering is my strength, not combat. I know we can't ask Captain Haken because he's half convinced she's a mutineer. But if we all agree that the best use of Lieutenant Sweeza is elsewhere, then at least we'll be looking for opportunities to nudge her that way.
When I think of all the youngsters who fantasize being heroic ship captains, all the untalented children of famous families, and here's a shy, inhibited genius who just needs a good kick in the pants.
I just hope we can administer that kick in the pants before life does.
However hard we kick her, reality can do worse.
Amen to that.
Esme had not run into the Serrano ensign for some time. She had seen him occasionally, playing wall ball or working out with someone on the mats, but he had never approached her. Now the rotation in table assignments put him at hers. She nodded at him as the others introduced themselves.
You're in remote sensing, aren't you, Ensign?
Yes, sir.
Your first choice?
Actually, no, but I had a short-term assignment right out of the academy, and then I was off schedule for normal ship rotations.
A jig to his right looked up from his meal.
It's a wonder. I thought Serrano's got whatever they wanted.
The Serrano ensign stiffened for an instant, but then shrugged.
It's a reputation perhaps not quite deserved.
And what's your specialty?
What was the jig's name? Plect or something like that.
I'm taking an advanced course. I'm doing research in low-temperature material fabrication, but Probably nobody would understand it unless they were working in the field.
Esme considered her options. He was making enough of an idiot of himself already.
I'm sure you're very good at what you do.
It was still too much. Two of the ensigns, but not Baron Serrano, almost choked on their soup. On the way out, she got two invitations to come watch the junior officers' Parpon semifinals match.
No, thank you. I really should spend some time in the gym myself.
It was not an excuse. She was still having trouble with nightmares any time she did not work out to exhaustion. She was sure she would outlast them in time, but for now she was spending a couple of hours a day in the gym.